TV.
Robert Lakey said something funny in the comments yesterday. He said, "I'm tired of arguing about free will." Man, you and me both. I've been doing it every day for 33 years. And arguing about the Trinity and eternal torment and the snatching away and the topic of sin, the new creation, the celestial destiny of the saints, arguing, teaching and arguing. Now, I could just, you know, teach and then not look back. Just go. But I always look back, which is the right thing to do because I care about people. I want to see how what I've taught has landed, to see if people understood it. Now, Paul is my example here. He always sent his fellow workers back to see if everybody got it. Did everybody get it? Because it's important that we come to a unity of the faith. It's ideal. It's never going to happen perfectly. I'm finding that out. But yeah, I'm tired of arguing about free will. Tell me about it, bro. Tell me about it. I'm always torn between, you know, just full steam ahead. Teach. But then I read the comments, and there are new people every day, literally, and so I care about these people, and I want them to get it, but then I'm concerned that I'm not feeding the mature saints who have been here for years. So this is why, even when I'm correcting something that's wrong, I try to use it as a springboard to solidify not only your belief, but mine, and I find that it does establish us more in the truth, and then we get a little respite, just like the wars in Israel. You know, they had a war, and then the war ended, and then there was a respite, right? And then there was a time of peace, and then we teach, and it's tranquil, and then boom, somebody drops a smoke bomb, and then boom, we got to clean it up again. But it's always helpful, and you know, I'm always thankful for these things. I'm thankful for everybody that is here. For instance, just yesterday, just quickly, a commenter named Grand Admiral Sir Bald Beast. It's the best name I've ever heard. Grand Admiral Sir Bald Beast said this: "I don't know how people miss the divinity of Jesus Christ from the scriptures, that he is God incarnate." Of course, we know that this is an absolute lie. Jesus Christ is not God incarnate. But here's someone who thinks, this is so obvious. Why don't people talking about believing the evangel? It's like, of course the evangel is that Jesus is God incarnate. Why can't people just believe that? He goes on to say it's all over the place and claimed by him. No, Jesus Christ never claimed to be God incarnate. He claimed to be God's son, and he claimed to be subservient to the Father. He said he came out of the Father, and he does his Father's will, and he died. Therefore, he can't be God incarnate unless Grand Admiral Sir Bald Beast believes that God can die. Then he says, Unitarian, and by the way, I'm thankful that you're here, sir. Don't go away. Don't let me intimidate you. But I do want to correct this. I'm not going to spend the whole show doing this. I'm just talking about mentioning what I'm dealing with, and I'm going to go through this so quickly. It's all over the place and claimed by him. Unitarian, Binitarian, what the hell is a Binitarian? Or Trinitarian, okay, Binitarian, must be a Binitarian, like binary versus Trinitarian. Okay, Jesus is God incarnate. No, he's not. He's the Son of God. Simple, very simple. Do you have a son? I don't know if you do, Grand Admiral Sir Bald Beast. I have three sons. My sons are not me, and I am not my sons. It's very simple. Then he says, and I don't understand how a misunderstanding of free will, which probably no one believes in, but probably believe in what is called free agency. I looked these things up, and it looks like semantics to me. The word free is in both phrases. But believing in free will through a misunderstanding condemns a person. He doesn't like this, through a misunderstanding. And I pointed out that Satan's stock in trade is misunderstanding. Quoting now 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan blinds the apprehensions of who? The unbelieving. Blind the apprehensions. A misunderstanding. Misunderstandings lead to aeonian death. And who inspires misunderstandings? Satan. He's the god of misunderstandings. People experience Aeonian death, they miss out on the eons because of misunderstandings. And they're not just misunderstandings. Ladies and gentlemen, you know this. Misunderstandings are fatal. The commenter goes on to say, there is not one iota of evidence for this in Scripture. I just read it, 2 Corinthians 4:4. That's a giant evidence in Scripture that misunderstanding is fatal. And yes, they all believe in free will. They all believe that they're free. They all believe that they make an independent choice. Okay, people put their faith in Jesus. Well, if only. But no, they put their faith in their faith in Jesus. That's the trick of Satan. If they don't understand the scholastic details of it, it's irrelevant. If they don't understand the scholastic details, we're not talking about scholastic details. We're talking about the essence of a thing. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God and not God incarnate is the essence of the thing. These are not scholastic details. These are the basics, the foundations. If they don't understand the scholastic details of it, it's irrelevant. Oh, how Satan would love for people to think that a simple misunderstanding about whether you save yourself by an exercise of your will or if Jesus saved you, it's just a scholastic detail. It's certainly not. Their trust is in Jesus. No, it's not. It's in their trust. And the T's can be crossed and the I's dotted later. Oh, the T's can be crossed and the I's dotted later. That's true. But the T has to be a T and the I has to be an I. In this case, it is not. And you yourself, Sir Beast, Admiral, Bald Person, you don't even believe that Jesus Christ died. So your T is a Q. Here, you don't even believe Jesus Christ died. So it's not a matter of you crossing your T. It's a matter of you think a T is a V or an X or a Q or a M dash. Yeah, you see, you're totally wrong on this. I'm trying to be nice about it, but I'm just trying to be helpful. I am trying to be helpful. There is a little that must be believed to be a Christian. And I know what you mean, to be a believer. That Jesus is the only way and that Jesus is the one true God incarnate. Sum it up. Well, wait a minute. You're summing up the gospel by making it up. There is little that must be believed to be a Christian. This would be a great time to quote 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, but you don't. You invent your own standards for the gospel, and here it is. In the words of Grand Admiral Sir Bald Beast, that Jesus is the only way. That's not what Paul says. I mean, Jesus is the only way, but the way Paul puts it is, Christ Jesus died for our sins, and that Jesus is the one true God incarnate. That's not in 1 Corinthians 15. It's nowhere in Scripture. You made that up. You're putting your own standard here. So you're very confused. One is not saved if he does not believe that Jesus is God. It's the opposite. One is not saved if he does not let go of the false teaching that Jesus is God and that Jesus is the only way. There is no gospel in Paul if Jesus is not God, and as Paul and Jesus claim. So this is what I'm dealing with, and I want to be helpful, so I read this and review it for the sake of the believers. There's another comment here. I really have to read this one. And that this is me being misunderstood. So this is frustrating for me, and I'm tired of it, but this goes with the job, and I accept it, and I revel in it, even though it's so exhausting. But for the sake of the people writing, I confront this. I wrestle with it, and I answer it. So here's a person named Mike and the book. He's commented many times, and he gets everything wrong in this comment. That's frustrating for me. I teach. I think I'm very clear. And he gets everything wrong. And it's like, what have I done? You know me. I always blame the teacher. He says, let me get this straight. The jailer, speaking of the Philippian jailer, I am going to move on from this today. The jailer believed, and I do have unfinished business. Remember, I got to go through the verses from Christopher Alsrue, who says that he had verses proving that God was not managing the universe. I know Robert Lakey is saying, I'm tired of talking about this free will. Me too, Robert. But I got unfinished business. I have to go through these verses, and I'm going to do it rat-a-tat-tat. God help me. Mike in the book says, let me get this straight. The jailer believed that Jesus was the Messiah. No, he didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. That's a circumcision teaching. He might not have known anything about the Messiah. That's a Jewish teaching. He believed that Jesus Christ died for his sins. Now you are saying that he would believe in the salvation of all real soon. No, I didn't say he would believe in the salvation of all real soon. I said he probably would, and he should believe in the salvation of all real soon. Then Mike in the book says, that is not in Scripture. Well, no, none of my commentary on Scripture is in Scripture, in case anybody's confused about that. In fact, what is in the Scripture is that they were all water baptized after they believed. Yeah, so? The jailer asked, what must I be doing? And Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus. So the jailer was obviously thinking he had free will to choose. No, that's not in Scripture. You talk about not in Scripture, that's not in Scripture. The jailer was obviously thinking he had free will to choose. The guy might not have believed in free will at all, being an intelligent man. He probably knew that everything has a cause, and whatever I do has a cause. You're reading that into it. I do not think a person learns that God chose them until after they believe the gospel. I'll go with that. Who said otherwise? I never said otherwise. They learn later that God chose them ahead of time. They learn that later, of course. But at the time, they will believe, if they are chosen beforehand, that it's of Christ and not of their own self-righteousness. That is their own sovereign choosing. I do not think a person learns. So I didn't mean to say that Mike in the book got everything wrong, but I think he thinks that I would oppose this or something, but I don't. I do not think a person learns that God chose them until after they believe the gospel. Oh, yeah, I agree with that. It is a part of the learning process. Of course it is. And then this, do you still hold to the fact that if the jailer believed and then died immediately, he would be a member of the body of Christ, even though he may have believed in eternal torment or that he made the decision of his own free will? I have tried to be so clear on this. How could you not be clear on this? But then, okay, what do? I always blame the teacher. Do you remember that line in Lincoln? There was a great line in Lincoln. Daniel Day Lewis played Lincoln. And there's one point when he's talking to these two guys in a side room or something. It's a very informal conversation. And these two guys get what he's saying. And Lincoln says, how refreshing to be understood. Because the guy was so often misunderstood. Do you still hold to the fact that if the jailer believed and then died immediately, he would be a member of the body of Christ, even though he may have believed in eternal torment? Of course I said if he believed in eternal torment, but he had a legitimate belief in the sufficiency of Christ, therefore letting go of his own self-righteousness, of course he'd be in the body of Christ. Or that he made the decision of his own free will? No, of course I don't believe that if he believes that he acted without influence in order to believe in Christ. Of course, I don't think he's in the body of Christ. So, yes, he is still in the body of Christ if it was him legitimately letting go of his own sovereign realm, letting go of his own self-righteousness, and yet still at the time believing in eternal torment. He's still in the body of Christ. He dies without following it through. He's still in the body of Christ. But if he believes that it was his decision that got him saved, that is his own righteousness, and of course I don't believe he's in the body of Christ. Then Mike in the book says, you're starting to sound like a person that teaches your faith will produce works. Good, because that's what I do believe. I do believe your faith will produce works. It will. There's a big difference between your faith will produce works and your faith better produce works, or your faith should produce works, or your faith must produce works. I'm not saying any of that. It will produce works. It's a natural thing. But if you die after believing in the totality, believing via the gift of belief in the totality of Christ's salvation, and you die right after that without any works, then you're saved without works. But you're saved without works anyway. You're starting to sound like a person that teaches your faith will produce works. Well, it will. It will. It'll produce fruit. What's fruit? Works are involved in fruit. It will produce it. The difference is you are saying that once a person believes in the gospel Paul preaches, they must then believe certain doctrines. No. Must believe certain doctrines. No. Once a person believes in the gospel Paul preaches, those are the certain doctrines. Believing what Paul preaches is believing the doctrines Paul preaches. It's not that they must then believe certain doctrines. Believing Paul is the certain doctrines. And the certain doctrines are the death of Christ for our sins. That's the certain doctrines. The death of Christ for our sins. Those are the certain doctrines. Okay. Ooh, baby. You see what I mean? Oh, but then respite, joy, happiness. Because Wild Boar really made some great points. Wild Boar says this. You make some good distinctions in this video. It got me thinking. Check this out. Paul emphasizes things like, for Christ, while we are still infirm, this is Romans chapter 5, while we are still infirm, still in accord with the era, for the sake of the irreverent died, while we are still infirm. See? Personal first. Yet God is commending this love of his to us, saying that while we are still sinners, Christ died for our sakes. This all lines up with the hour of 1 Corinthians 15:3 being the hour of Paul and anyone who would believe his evangel. Being enemies, we were conciliated to God through the death of his son. That's it. Yes, we. There's the we again. Sounds selfish, and initially it is. Wild Boar finishes this way. It's not like Paul wrote or ran around saying, hey, everybody listen up. Christ saved all humanity at the cross. It's true, he did. Of course, Paul teaches the ultimate salvation of all in his letters, but I think he's mostly trying to get people to focus on their personal sin and mortality and unrighteousness and then apply the glorious, perfect work of Christ at the cross to themselves. Personal, practical, priority one. Yes, that well said. Thank you for that. And now, you see how I got through that? It only took me 20 minutes. Now, I know we've lost Christopher, which is good because he was injecting poison into this channel. And we dealt with it. The poison of self-sufficiency, the poison of human free will, the poison of one's own righteousness. And, you know, God, in the Old Testament, God did not want the saints rubbing elbows with those of the other nations. He forbid the Israelites to even commingle with those of the other nations because they would pick up some bad habits. And so we have to guard against picking up bad habits. But in the old days, God would kill the enemies of Israel. We don't do that today. We don't kill people who disagree with us. But we, in a way, those who disagree on essential elements, we kind of have to quarantine that and deal with it as a separate issue. Like, fence it off, say, uh-oh, like, alarm bells, here's something that's contrary. Even though we want to be polite to new people coming onto the channel, I really do. I don't want to lose anybody, but I'm willing to lose people by heralding the truth and by exposing, rebuking, and entreating. So, we know that Christopher, on day one, said, in looking at the whole counsel of God, that's what I want to look at here, we need to consider the following, and he lists verses, 15 verses, the following, which state that God has not decreed all things, inclusively of man's will. See, he doesn't believe that God has decreed all things. I dealt with the first verse, Jeremiah 7:31. His next verse is Jeremiah 19:5. It's related to the other verse in Jeremiah. And because they have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire as a sin offerings to Baal, which I did not instruct. That's true. God did not instruct them. It wasn't in the law of Moses to burn their children to Baal, nor even speak of. Nope, God never spoke of it. Nor did it come upon my heart. Nope, it never entered his heart. It entered his mind, but not his heart. That's related to the first one. We already dealt with that. Jeremiah 32:35. I have not gone here yet, so I'm doing this live. 32:3. And tomorrow, I'm going to have to finish these verses tomorrow. Then a whole new topic. I'm turning the page, and I really almost have to not read comments because every time I do, I get so tempted to set the record straight. Whenever I'm misunderstood, I have this manic desire to be understood. and then I can take one comment and just drag all the rest of you into this comment, and I really have to be careful that it's productive, that everybody's going to learn something like what I just did. I'm sitting here sweating a little bit thinking I shouldn't have even read those comments and commented on them. Maybe it's selfish of me to want to be misunderstood. I mean, to want to be understood and to be so bothered by being misunderstood. Maybe I should just let it go. But then when I let it go, I think that the person's going to think that, oh, I got Martin. He can't answer this. But that's my pride. Ugh. And I don't want to waste your time. Please tell me if I'm wasting your time. I'm even hesitating to go through these verses. If you don't want me to go through these verses, I swear I'm going to try to go through them as fast as I can. I said I was going to do this 2 weeks ago, and then we got sidetracked by another thing. I mean, I really always try to make this profitable to everyone, not only newcomers, but those who have been here for years. And I want it to be profitable for myself, too. I mean, I have a part in this. I want to grow. I want to learn. I want to learn to explain these things better so that this show's for me, too. So I have to get something out of it. I have to get a kick out of it. I have to find purpose and some kind of joy in it, and I do, and I do. So let me know how I'm doing, okay? And let me know if you want me to stop these verses. If enough people say stop, then I'll do it because I'm here to serve you. I mean, if I am just convinced it's important, then, you know, that's one thing. But if I can go either way, then, okay, Jeremiah 32, 35. This might be something new. Let's see. Or it might be the same thing. Jeremiah 32, 35. I'm sorry, it's the same thing. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the ravine of the son of Hinnom, to have their sons and their daughters pass through the fire to Moloch, which I did not instruct them, nor did it come upon my heart. Oh, sorry, same thing. God is sovereign in this. It came upon his mind, and he decreed it, but it wasn't lovey-dovey to him. 1 John 2:16, thank God. I'm just going to go to my handy-dandy hard copy here because I'm tired of this computer. 1 John 2:16, you know, I got to admit to you, I did look at this one ahead of time. This is a good one. 1 John 2:16. Let's start with verse 15. Be not loving the world, neither that which is in the world. If ever anyone is loving the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything that is in the world, the desire of the flesh and the desire of the eyes and the ostentation of living is not of the Father. Not of the Father. This sounds convincing. Not of the Father, but is of the world. Wow. Now, I'd like to know, and you need to know how you would answer this if somebody confronted you with this seeming contradiction. 1 John 2, verse 16. The desire of the eyes, the ostentation of living, is not of the Father. And then Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's just turn to it here, keeping my finger in 1 John 2. You know this verse well. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, yet all is of God. All is of God. And yet, 1 John 2, these things are not of the Father. There is something in the Greek that Christopher didn't know, and he thought he thinks he knows everything, but he didn't realize that when the verb to be is present, it is in the relative viewpoint. Only relatively is something not of the Father. Like if someone robs a bank, I can say that's not of God. In other words, God doesn't want you to do that. It's relative, but absolutely it is of God. But I mean, absolutely God, everything that happened, God wants to happen. Only relatively can you say that something is not of God. That's not of God. It's right to say that as long as you think it's not absolute. But there's a way in the Greek to tell if it's absolute or relative. And here's how you do it. In verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 5, yet all is of God. The is in light face type. which means that the is not there. It has been supplied to make the sentence readable in English. So this literally reads, all of God. This is an absolute statement, all of God. But when the is present, when it's in dark face type, it is a relative statement. And if you go to verse 16 of 1 John 2, the is dark face type. The ostentation of living is not of the Father. It's a relative statement, and this is discoverable by the dark face is, meaning that the word is does have a supportive word in the original text. And there are other examples where it is said that this one is not of God. He's not of God. This is not of God. And the is, in every case, the is in dark face type. But who is Paul? What is Paul? Paul is Mr. Absolute. And when the absolute truth is in view, the is in light face type, all of God. Another rule of scriptural interpretation, the ignorance of which will lead anyone astray into phantasmagorical lands of complete and total nonsense.